Well, if you've got a Bible, please do open it at 1 Peter chapter 1. And you'll be disappointed to hear that I'm not going to be speaking this evening about giving, even though it's a gift Sunday. I'm so sorry about that. But there's a couple of great sermons preached last week on giving, and I do encourage you to go online if you haven't heard those. But this evening, I want to draw out just one theme from our reading this evening. I've prepared three, but I feel I just want to preach one of them. So it'll be shorter than normal. Again, I know you'll be disappointed. And then we'll have some ministry. Is that all right? Well, that's what we're doing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you that you're not a distant God, you're not absent, and that we're not irrelevant to you, but that you care, and that you're there for us. And we thank you that you're here tonight. We thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We bless you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, this evening, that just in these few moments as we come to your word, that you'd speak to us. And we pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, you would deposit something in our souls this evening. We pray for an experience of you. We have the evidence of you, Lord. We pray for an experience too. And we bless you, Lord. Amen. Well, this morning, Mark Brickman was leading a prayer meeting I was at, and he began by reading from Psalm 51, where David is calling out to God, having been exposed in his sinfulness with Bathsheba and in his adultery and indeed murder. And one of the lines in there, one of the prayers, as it were, one of the cries that came from David's heart was to restore to us, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. And that was one of the things I'd planned to speak on this evening. So I went and asked Mark. I said, did you know I was speaking on that? He said, no. I said, oh, that was one of the thoughts that was on my mind for tonight. And then this evening at another prayer meeting, there's a lot of praying going on by these vicars, by the way. At a 5 o'clock prayer meeting, Christopher began and he spoke about the joy of our salvation, and he actually said that joy is at the heart of our faith. I went over and said to him, do you know what I'm speaking on tonight? He said, no. I said, oh, that's interesting. So I've got this sermon, I've got various decent points, but I just feel I want us to focus in on this one thing. I just sense that that is what the Lord wants us to consider, and that is what the Lord wants us to receive from him. A friend of mine came to stay last night, an American, and he said that he had come down on the bus down Headington Hill. And he said he was struck as he came down Headington Hill at the beauty of the city centre and the colleges and Magdalen and the bridge and so on, but also the sense of pressure. He felt there was pressure here. And last night I just shared to him, because he's a big C.S. Lewis fan, I said, you know that it was as he went up that hill that C.S. Lewis had an experience of God where he gave his life over to the Lord. And when he got out of the bus, he knew that he was born again. And C.S. Lewis describes his conversion as being surprised by joy. He becomes a Christian on the basis of what was reasonable and logical and sensible. And he'd been involved in years of exploring and examining and arguing, particularly with Tolkien, about the faith. And compelled by the evidence, he commits his life to the Lord. He said he was a reluctant convert. And so he hands over his life to the Lord. He believes that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he rose again, and he's worthy of all honor and praise, and that he needs saving. He needs new birth. And so he gives himself to this Lord because it's the right thing to do, because Jesus is Lord. What he wasn't expecting was what then began to bubble up in his soul. And he called it surprised by joy. Now, I wonder if there are people here this evening who would say, actually, I'd be surprised by joy because I'd be surprised if there was any joy for me. And maybe this evening, some of you are here and just feeling that you are in a place so far removed from joy that actually for me to even be talking about it is utterly alien to you and almost offensive. And maybe you are really going through a really tough, pressured, intense period of trial and trouble, as if darkness and shadows have gathered around you, and you think, joy is all I can do to survive in this context. I believe particularly for you that there is joy this evening. So let's come to this passage, and I want to build just this one point around some thoughts here. But first, let me tell you about a conversation I had this week. I went to see a friend of mine, runs a bike shop, and while we were in there, someone who he knew came in, and he introduced me, said, "This is the vicar." And she's a very smart, lovely lady, and she said, when he told her I was a priest, she said, "I think it's a really good thing to have spirituality and to have a sense of faith and principles to operate your life, but," she said, "I don't want God. I'll take the spirituality, I'll take the framework, but I don't want God." My pal then added very helpfully, "I read his latest book on holiness. It was good, apart from the religious bits," which was most of it, really. Now, the notable new atheist Sam Harris, one of the sort of four riders of the apocalypse, as they're called, with Dawkins and Hitchens and Atkins, he has actually written a book called Waking Up, Searching for Spirituality Without Religion. And he says that he wants to, quote, "pluck the diamond from the dunghill of esoteric religion." To pluck the diamond from the dunghill of religion. And what is that dunghill? Well, it's faith in God. It's having God at the center. And what is the diamond? He talks about human flourishing. And what is the expression, the format and frame of that religion? For him, it is mindfulness. And he is now a leading advocate for mindfulness and meditation. But here's the thing, you cannot have the fruit of faith without the faith itself. And many want what God can give without what God requires. And what God wants to give us is unconditional love and joy that comes from knowing that he is Lord and that he's given to us new birth by faith in his Son, forgiveness and salvation. And people want that unconditional love and they want that joy and they want certain rules for their life and they want some peace and they want freedom from anxiety and stress and drivenness and all of that. They just don't want God. But they're, as it were, cutting off the very thing that is the means for them to receive the very thing that they want. And Christianity puts God at the center. God at the center. And it's God who is the making of us. And it's only when we're rightly aligned with God that these things that we seek, we find. Only when we're right with him will we really know this joy. Joy, as Christopher said, is at the heart of our faith. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Joy is the fruit and consequence and overflow of salvation.
And Peter here is, and we're in a series in Peter, which is why we're hanging around here. Peter is unapologetic about putting God at the center. There are 105 verses in Peter, 120 of which mention God. It's all about God. And it's as our life is rightly aligned to God that joy overflows and that we flourish. And dear old Sam Harris, looking to flourish and looking for love and looking for joy. In fact, he's done a considerable study on ecstasy. Is looking for it in the wrong place. Why? Because he's looking for it in himself. And all his religion is centered in on himself rather than on God. Now, verse 3 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you might recognize that. It's actually found in 1 Peter 1:3. It's found in Ephesians 1:3. And it's found in 2 Corinthians 1:3, which is interesting. A lot of 1:3s, but don't get all mystical about numbers because they weren't there in the original. But there it is. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say that if we want joy, then our lives need to be centered on God. And what does it look like to center our lives on God? It's like putting him first and praising him. The word here for praise be to God, some translate it as blessed be God. The Greek word is eulogetos, from which we get our word eulogize. It's a conjunction of two words, eu meaning good or well or pleasing, and the logos or words. To speak good words of God, to bless him, to honor him, to extol him, to exalt him, to promote him, to praise him, to love on him, as it were. And Peter is a devout Jew. And in the Jewish tradition that Peter would have been nurtured in, and indeed that Paul was nurtured in, blessing God was a commonplace, almost moment-by-moment thing. There's what they call the berakah, and it's literally to bless God. And the Talmud, the Jewish sages, said you've got to do it at least 100 times a day. In everything. So you bless the Lord when you wake up, you bless the Lord when you go to work, you bless the Lord when you come home, you bless the Lord when you go to sleep. You were to bless the Lord particularly with pleasurable things, when you smelt wonderful fragrances. You were to bless the Lord when you were about to enjoy and after you'd enjoyed particular intimacies. You were to bless the Lord and to thank the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is the source of all these good things. Peter is blessing God. This is very familiar. Any Jewish person would hear that and think, yes, absolutely, we bless God. But then it changes. This would have been a scandal to some Jewish people because he says, praise be or blessed be the God and Father. Father? The Orthodox Jews wouldn't even call God God. They called him Hashem, the name, because to call God God was to bring him down, to somehow diminish him, to somehow circumscribe him. But here, he's calling him Father. And then he says, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's to equate Jesus Christ with God, and that was sacrilegious too. But there's a new framing of this, this blessing, because this God is now Father who is revealed to us in Jesus. Here's the big difference between spirituality, as it were, and true religion and Christianity. Spirituality puts me at the center, whereas Christianity puts God at the center. Spirituality is trying to find these blessings by looking into me, whereas Christianity is predicated on putting God at the center, focusing in on God, and then it's God who overflows and blesses us with these things, with flourishing. He's the making of us. I come that you might have life and have it to the full, he said. And we've got so much to bless God for. And we were going to look at a number of these things, but I just want to go straight to, well, I mean, I'll just underline some of them. Look, in his great mercy, the word there for great is mega. in his Mega Mercy. That ought to be the name of a rock band, I think, Mega Mercy. He has given us new birth. Look at that. The world is looking for new birth. Harry and Meghan have just given birth to a prince and couldn't work out a name for a bit, but now we've got one. They've given birth to a prince. But God has given us new birth. We can't give ourselves birth, but we long for it. We long to be awakened and renewed, and it's God who gives it to us through Jesus Christ. And look, an inheritance. What have you got coming to you? In Christ, heirs and co-heirs with Christ. It's as if God says to us, my child, one day this will all be yours, just showing us heaven. We have an inheritance laid up for us. And it talks about us as being shielded by God's power until the coming salvation. It's just full of wonderful things. But I want to go all the way down and look at joy. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. One translation says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I like that. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We bless God because he first blesses us. We love him because he first loved us. We believe in God, revealed in Jesus, raised from the dead, like Lewis, not on the basis of sight, but on the basis of evidence. And we give our life to him on the basis of that evidence. But that evidence is followed up by an experience. And I want to say the authentic experience of the Christian life and of the kingdom of heaven is joy. The atheist, Sam Harris, that I mentioned, who's so brutally dismissive of Christianity, yet he's just aware he's got a vacuum in his life that he's trying to fill with his own DIY religion based upon mindfulness and meditation. But he's even got aligned himself and borrowed various techniques from Buddhist masters. He's exercised religion, but there's still that aching and longing and desire in his life, and so he's had to go back religion to find it. But he said this, that he wants to explore spiritual experiences that he's seen in our faith. And what are those? He says, feelings of ecstasy and unconditional love. He says, without extrapolating to religious conclusions. Well, you can't have one without the other. Because, well, you can if you take chemistry tablets, but that'll mess with other parts of your head. Ecstasy, don't do it. But ecstasy with God. It's an overflow of intimacy in a relationship with God. And when we leave God out of our life, we're left looking for these things. And we try to find them in all sorts of areas, and all, whether it's achievement or whether it's various kind of experiences that we throw ourselves into or acquisition of certain things, or looking for that pleasure. But those deep pleasures are found in God. The spiritual writer Eugene Peterson said, our lives are full of entertainment. He said, they're entertainment saturated, but devoid of joy. Entertainment saturated, but devoid of joy. He said, Peterson says, he's gone to be with the Lord, but he said, so often our life, we're like kings who are sat at a banquet and we're gorging ourselves on all manner of things, but we're so glutted on it, but there's still something missing that we have to call in the court jester. I listened to a radio interview yesterday with a dear lady, bless her, and she'd been suffering terribly from depression. And one way that she's found of handling this depression is she started a blog and she's just uploaded pictures of herself in her underwear and she just laughs at herself. And other people laugh at her. And in that laughter, she says she has found some measure of healing. Is that what we've got? God bless. I felt for her in the car. I thought, is that it? Strip ourselves naked and have people laugh at us so we can get over ourselves. Some of us do need to get over ourselves, but that's not joy. And God's got more for us. God wants us to have deep down joy that just overflows. I was so sad for her. We love God because he first loved us. And when we know his love, when we know that hope that he gives us, when we receive that gift of new birth, when we know that salvation that runs towards us in Christ Jesus, then we can know, verse 9, joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's an authority in the resurrection of the dead and the evidence for it, but there's an authentication, as Lloyd-Jones said, by the Holy Spirit. What's the difference between joy and happiness? Happiness is based on what happens to you in every moment of the day, situation and circumstance. Actually, happiness comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word hap. That means chance, based on chance, whether you're going to be happy or not. But joy is something deep down that overwhelms us regardless of situation and circumstance. And Peter makes it clear that there can be trials in our lives. We're not delivered from trials, but there is joy in them. Joy unspeakable. You know, I laughed out loud when I was writing this, bits of this. I'm making it up as I'm going along here tonight. But I did laugh out loud at this point. I looked up this word joy. The main word for joy in Greek is the word chara, and that's the one that comes up most often. And I saw this word, and I thought, I don't know that word. It's agaliao. You can all say that. Agaliao. I thought, it's interesting. Well, I don't know that word. So I went and started digging. It's unique to the Bible. It's unique to Christianity. We invented it. And do you know what it means? Well, it's a conjunction of two words. Agan, meaning a lot. A lot. And the verb halomai. Do you know what that means? Jump. Jump. A lot of jumping. A lot of jumping. I'm going to move, I feel. This is a powerful emotion. I just laughed out loud and told the barista, who wasn't that impressed, but I made her say, agaliao. She was Spanish, and I thought it sounded similar, but it was a powerful emotion that leads to a physical, exuberant overflow. Peter's about to be crucified upside down. He's facing trials and tribulations, but they can't put down what God has put in him, which is this great joy. Jumping in the house. A couple of years ago, I was at a conference, big summer conference, and I had a row with the main man who ran it because there was a song that was trendy at the time, and I just thought it was naff. And I just didn't appreciate, I was one of the main speakers with China Nita, I just didn't appreciate 5,000 people jumping up and down. I thought it was bad form, irreverent, you know, adding to the sweat factor in the middle of the summer. And I just thought, come on, you know, grow up. We are Anglicans. Well, maybe, but they were Christian, jumping in da house, as it were. Why? Not as an affectation, just a giddy thing, but an overflow of emotion. Here's the thing, many of us here don't know that emotion, and therefore that would be an affectation. And how can we know that deep emotion, that deep confirmation? Well, it comes by a revelation of the Spirit of who Jesus is and what he's done and who we are to him. And it's as he sheds abroad his love in our hearts that we see it and we get it and we overflow with it, regardless of our difficulties. When I was thinking about this last night, trying to pull these thoughts together, which I haven't given you most of them, I said, Lord, I feel like a hypocrite because actually I'm morose a lot of the time. I'm miserable. I've said it before, it's because I'm half Welsh, I think, and we always feel a bit beaten up and done over by the English, and I'm from West Country, and you know, all of this stuff, and I just think, Lord, I'm a bit miserable, really. I'm a bit of a misery. How can I preach this stuff? I don't often feel the reality of the stuff I'm preaching. And I felt the Lord just remind me of what I'd just written. That actually, we're not about spirituality and in about me. It's about Him. And it's as we give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we put Him center and orientate our lives towards Him, that all of that then overflows. I think there are people here this evening and you're in a difficult place, dry and weary. You've forgotten the joy of your salvation. Some of you are not sure you've ever even had the joy that went with salvation, and were you almost hoodwinked by atmosphere and emotion when you committed. Some of you are in a really tough place. I think the Lord wants to restore to us the joy of our salvation and give us the authentic sign of joy, and not surprise you because I've just preached on it, but meet you with joy this evening as an overflow of the Spirit, as a gift of God, because you know who you are, you know whose you are, and that God is put in your life where He should be. Amen? Let's stand. The band are going to come up and we're going to worship for a bit.